information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
You can no more win a war than you can win an earthquake. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 160th episode of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster for the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. It's March 5th, 2010, and we have all the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. The Octopus Interview. Pentagon shooters, charges and plotters, security measures in homeland America, contractors, quotas and Operation Exodus, contamination, collapse, capital and kettle, ghost towns, the grid, cyber war and CERN, solar storm, space weather, earthquakes and Eden, fake news, pharaohs and Psi non-fi, all that and so much more. It's March 5th, 2010, episode 160 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Yeah.
Rebel Motorcycle Club. That's brand new music from them. Their new record, that's the title track, Beat the Devil's Tattoo. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club is going to be in Portland Sunday night, March 7th. But I'm not going to check it out because I've got an Oscar party to go to. Yes, I'm that kind of media nerd. And that's why you're here. And it's episode 160 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's March 5th, 2010. And like I said, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Blasting out, as always, from the mothership, the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, in Southeast Portland, Oregon. So many thank yous to go around this episode. And we'll always start with the fine list of affiliates who carry and broadcast live and rebroadcast Media Monarchy. Rebroadcasting and kicking it out live, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. Blasting out in Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM. On the East Coast, the worldwide home of free speech, Revere Radio Network, ReveRadio.net. Thanks to Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, 98.5 in Olympia, Washington. Berkeley Liberation Radio.net on 104.1 in Berkeley, California. PhantomRadio.org, 93.9, Boulder, Colorado. OneSkyRadio.com on 90.7 FM, KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska. Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia. On 87.9, thanks to stickam.com/groundzeroradio. And of course, Glenn, from right here in Portland, he runs the invaluable Cascadia publicradio.org, giving you all the best news shows out there at a lower bit rate, easier to download, easier to email. And my man Jeff at radio23.org. They rebroadcast Media Monarchy as well, make available a high-quality feed if you are an affiliate. You can get a big file suitable for rebroadcast. And looking late last night at the latest issue of the Willamette Week, which is one of our free weekly alternative papers here in Portland, I saw an article called Free Radical, and it is about my man Jeff Simmons. He helped start Portland Radio Authority back when we were a pirate operation. And then he started Radio23.org. And he's blasting out and building up and starting new radio stations that blast out worldwide, but also bringing more community radio to Portland. So, huge hat tip to Jeff. I haven't even had a chance to post that article yet, so we'll probably touch on it a little more later. You can get in touch with me, of course, Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, MySpace.com/Media Monarchy, Twitter, YouTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org, all using Media Monarchy as the username or keyword. And yes, 2 weeks ago, I pledged to you I was going to have an online bank account, a PayPal account, as well as a P.O. box. I am very happy to announce that all that is set up. If you go to MediaMonarchy.com right now, you'll see at the top right of the page I put in the PayPal button, as well as a chip-in, which also works through PayPal. So you can donate to Media Monarchy and help support alternative media. Of course, I do this because it's a passion. I don't make a dime off of it. But I've been doing this now for nearly 5 years, and if you find the information on Media Monarchy valuable, throw me a couple bucks. And what this ties into, and what lit the fire under my ass to make this happen, is my man Richard Andrew Grove at peacerevolution.org. He has a brand new documentary called 2020 Hindsight, which, of course, returning listeners know we've covered extensively in the last few weeks. The only way you can get that DVD is if you donate $10 to any of the alternative media sites that have supported Richard Grove's work since 2006. And that includes Maria.net, CorbettReport.com, GnosticMedia.com, as well as MediaMonarchy.com. $10 gets you the DVD. We also have the P.O. Box. You can send a check. You can send me books and records and CDs and media. I love it. Please. I'm not begging for free stuff. But we all like to share information. Several months ago, my man Dave, out in the UK, sent me some CDs of his band. I turned around, played one of the songs on the show. My man Alan, in Omaha, sent me a copy of the Franklin Scandal. Stephen in Oklahoma mailed me a check. And now I implore all of you guys to help support alternative media. And here it is. Media Monarchy, P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. And again, that's all going to be posted up on the top of MediaMonarchy.com. It hasn't been 24 hours since I put up all the P.O. Box and PayPal information. And this morning, huge thanks to the three folks that I know of who have already donated to Media Monarchy. And that's Michael in Rochester, James in Calgary, and Nathan from right here in Oregon. So a huge, huge, huge thanks to those guys. They will get a copy of the 2020 Hindsight DVD, as well as whatever other little goodies I might add in. And again, I implore you to follow that example. And you can see the chip in again. You can see how the progress goes. And that's how this all works. I'm not asking for you to help pay my bills. Not my, you know, power bill, Netflix, or any of that stuff. This is purely for Media Monarchy. This is to pay for the domain names. This is to pay some of the dues for the radio station. So we have so much to go over, and I'm not going to spend any more time talking about that, other than to say, again, I implore you to support alternative media sites like MediaMonarchy.com and PeaceRevolution.org. We should also mention, like I said, I'm signed into Skype, and Instant Messenger is Media Monarchy right now. You can also hop over to ZeroPointRadio.com, check out their brand new site, and still hop on their chat room. I'm in there as well right now. It's nice to have a sounding board as I do the show live, so I appreciate those guys very much. And as we always do, we like to glance over and see what's happening in the breaking news. As again, it's just past 10 a.m. here, Portland Pacific Time, March 5th, 2010. The new unemployment figures are out, and they remain unchanged, which is to say, terrible. The mainline official version is that we're at 9.7% unemployment nationwide. We also see the White House considering a military trial for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. This even though they've already thrown out charges against these guys. We're going to get to that a little bit later as the plot thickens. We can also see that Ron Paul easily fended off primary challengers in Texas. Governor Patterson's public support erodes in New York. Ooh, and the Apple iPad is coming April 3rd. So that's what's happening in the breaking news world, my friends, and now we're going to jump over to MediaMonarchy.com. I believe I run a pretty exhaustive site. I love doing the data mining. And Media Monarchy is nonpartisan. We don't believe in either of the phony mainline left-right paradigm parties. And what I try and do is give you the subtext and the context for you to do more research yourself and flesh out your understanding on any of the areas that I cover that you may find of interest on Media Monarchy or Food World Order or CyberspaceWar.com. So we're first going to mention the latest episode of The New World next week. My video series, weekly 10-minute YouTube series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. 3 stories in a bite-sized form, easy to digest, easy to turn people on to who may not listen to a 2-hour podcast. I'm thinking uncles and, you know, people who like to watch TV, perhaps. The videos are fantastic. Always a huge thanks to James Corbett for putting them together and giving a spotlight to some of the stories that we're covering on Media Monarchy. This latest episode, we go over the Pentagon dropping military charges against the 9/11 plotters, U.S. and Canada to extend security measures past the Olympics. In the third story, good news, internet overtakes print in U.S. news consumption. All that, again, with the links and the documentation provided to you in a 10-minute form on YouTube, thanks to CorbettReport.com. It's the latest episode of The New World next week, 9/11 trials, Americanada, and the death of Printaganda. So speaking of Corbett Report, the latest episode of his podcast, episode 119, Lessons in Resistance, Whistleblowing. The whistleblowers of 9/11 come from every nook and cranny of government and private industry, but their stories are unheard and unheralded until now. Latest episode 119, Lessons in Resistance, gives a special exploration of the suppressed stories of some of the 9/11 whistleblowers, including J. Michael Springman, and of course the aforementioned Richard Andrew Grove. All the latest other videos and interviews are posted up along with this episode 119 of Corbett Report. It's all there. So that first story that we cover, let's get into it right now. By way of McClatchy. Pentagon drops military charges against 9/11 plotters. The Pentagon on Friday, February 26th, officially dropped military charges against the accused mastermind of the 9/11 terrorist attacks and 4 other conspirators, a development that likely foreshadows their transfer to New York City to face charges in a civilian federal court. The Pentagon said the dismissal of the charges without prejudice against alleged plot leader Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the others, Attash, Al-Shib, Ali, and Halsawi, all those names linked up with all their aliases and double, triple agent cover, all linked up thanks to the fantastic complete 9/11 timeline on historycommons.org. You can read more about those guys and all the tangled web that surrounds them. Attorney General Eric Holder, you might recall, announced on November 13th that the 5 men would be tried in a federal court for the 9/11 attacks. What we covered extensively back in November is the perhaps real reason that only 5, and these 5, are coming to New York City. These 5 are the ones who have already said they plan to plead guilty. We also had Obama coming out and saying he was confident they'd be convicted and executed, which is a complete violation. I'm not trying to say, oh, these guys are innocent, they should be let go. But each move and backtrack that they make further exposes the fraud of 9/11. KSM, tortured to a ridiculous extent, waterboarded 6 times a day, ultimately waterboarded nearly hundreds of times, confessing to things he couldn't possibly have done. Documents have been produced showing KSM's kids were kidnapped and tortured using insects. You put yourself in that situation, would you not confess to anything and everything under the sun? each move they make further exposes the 9/11 fraud. So then let's move to some of the latest other 9/11 updates. Veterans for Peace, Jersey Girls, and new documents. First up, by way of 911blogger.com and veteransforpeace.org, they have a quick video up which perhaps illuminates the fact that they are the first anti-war group to demand a new investigation into 9/11.
This is a Veterans for Peace resolution passed at the 2009 National Convention to support a valid investigation into the national security failures of the 9/11-2001 attacks inside the United States. Whereas the pretext for two illegal wars of occupation, torture, and war crimes was justified by the catastrophic events of 9/11, and whereas Congress was blocked by the White House from their intended investigation in connection with the massive national security failures of 9/11, and whereas not one person has since been held accountable for the national security failures that allowed the 9/11 attacks to succeed, and whereas Lee Hamilton, co-chair of the 9/11 Commission, confessed that his commission was, in his words, set up to fail, and whereas significant unanswered questions remain that challenge the official story of the events of 9/11, therefore be it resolved that Veterans for Peace supports a legitimate and nonpartisan investigation into the catastrophic national security failures of 9/11-2001.
Again, that message and resolution and demands for a new 9/11 investigation coming from veteransforpeace.org. And again, we've often wondered why 9/11 truth and anti-war can't get along. Because they must. 12 New England towns demand 9/11 reinvestigation. That's from Russia Today. We have the latest additions to the aforementioned complete 9/11 timeline from historycommons.org. They also have new documents available up on Scribd, all about the U.S. consulate in Jeddah, which we mentioned J. Michael Springman being one of the whistleblowers interviewed on that recent Korber Report episode about lessons in resistance. I believe J. Michael Springman used to work at that Jeddah consulate. And the long and short of it is he saw guys he knew he should deny visas, but was told from higher-ups, no, let him go through. That's what we've exposed time and time again about these terror events from 9/11 to the Christmas bomber, is that they're handled along the way, and good people doing hard work at all levels of government. Again, when we talk about these things, we're not saying it's the government. It's the CIA. Rogue elements within government organizations, the banks, politicians, multinational corporations. They don't believe in your flag, and they don't believe in your God. But they use those things to keep you in your box. Jersey Girls support architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth have been garnering a lot of attention recently on Russia Today, in Washington Times. Now we have the Jersey Girls supporting architects and engineers. We have one of their latest papers, and you can download the PDF about the downward acceleration. There is also a video posted up here, again from Russia Today. Architects call for new study about the Twin Towers collapse, saying fire couldn't demolish the World Trade Center in 11 seconds. What we say time and time again here is that it's not all about controlled demolition. I don't ultimately believe that's where the truth lies, and as long as we're speculating about ballistics, it can go on forever. What we like to talk about in 9/11 Truth are the drills, and the insider trading, and the P-TECH software, and the infiltration, and the identification of these guys. The funding, the training. Follow the money, not the explosions. Now, the second story we got into on the latest New World Next Week, U.S. and Canada to extend security measures past Olympics. Surprise, surprise. This coming from the Globe and Mail, Canada and U.S. authorities are talking about extending cross-border security measures that were implemented for the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver and were to end with the closing of the Winter Games, which closed this last Sunday, the 28th. The RCMP and the U.S. Coast Guard have jointly patrolled the waters off Vancouver since the beginning of that month, boarding nearly 200 vessels and interviewing 500 people in their efforts to maintain security. Almost every small craft in the vicinity of the maritime border has been contacted to confirm the legitimacy of its voyage, although some arrests on outstanding criminal warrants were made and some vessels sent back to port for not being safe. None of the incidents involved a threat to Olympic security. All crime is terror, Section 802 of the Patriot Act. The joint patrols were to end with Olympics, but spokesmen from both agencies, RCMP and the U.S. Coast Guard, said legislation that would allow joint maritime policing on a permanent basis is on the agenda of both the U.S. and Canadian governments. One of the main people speaking out for this is U.S. Senator Patty Murray out of Washington. She's begging Napolitano and Homeland Stupidity to continue funding something that was set up for the Olympics in Bellingham, Washington, the 2010 Olympic Coordination Center. They want the gravy train to keep rolling, the terror gravy train. So whether we're ever talking about the drug industrial complex, the same people who run the drugs arrest you for daring to do them. What we probably see here is someone who wants the money to keep rolling, all under the phony war of terror. And this should be no surprise, and we've added, again, the contextual links so you can further explore that this is nothing new. They're not just deciding to say, hey, maybe we should keep this going. They've already been working on it. Pieces by Dana Gabriel, as well as other folks, have explored the U.S.-Canada border security and military integration. One update I do have from Montreal Gazette. U.S. to determine who can board some Canadian flights. And I think that ties in. They are integrating the nations. And again, here on Media Monarchy, we try not to deal in conspiracy theory. I want to deal in conspiracy fact. So some folks take a view of history and call it accidental, that everything that happens just kind of happens and bumbles along. The other view is conspiratorial history. So see, you watch movies and TV shows about it, but don't you think that wealthy families, multi-generational gangsters and banksters have worked for quite a long time for power? It's not just about money. They print the phony money. It's about a consolidation of power. And as long as they can keep all of us fighting with each other about left and right and Tea Party and Coffee Party and all that WWF garbage, and as long as we, you know, talk about, oh, how much American Idol sucks now. Or as I see windows, people getting straight home from work and heading straight to the video games. Yes, all those things are fun. But if some of those folks, if they spent half the time researching what's really going on in the world, I think they would get more active. And that's what we say here. We want you to get active before we all end up radioactive. U.S. and Canada to extend security measures past the Olympics. One of the things that I note in my recent conversation with James Corbett is how easy it is for the powers that be to ratchet up the controls and the fear. But when the event subsides, or is also, as usually is the case, exposed as a fraud, it's nearly impossible to get those things removed. And we're going to cover that with the recent Obama-Saya extension of the Patriot Act. So where is the main line left there? I don't hear a thing. Now, I got a little bit ahead of myself. Because as I mentioned in the intro, I said something about the octopus interview. Yesterday, I had a long and extensive conversation with our good friend Albert Lanier, film critic and researcher out of Honolulu. We recorded an interview called The Octopus. I have a clip of that. I was going to play it, but since I forgot to play it at the top of the show, I don't want to make the time to play it now. It's not posted up yet. I have not published and uploaded the interview yet. I've been working on editing it and getting it all together and getting all the documentation and everything together for you. So look for that new interview with Albert Lanier on The Octopus coming very soon on the heels of this episode 160. So having said that, let's now move to the next post on MediaMonarchy.com. Police state updates. Homeland America, with a K, contractors and quotas. First story, by way of Raw Story, one in four Germans want microchip under the skin. It sounds like something from a sci-fi film, but one in four Germans would be happy to have a microchip implanted in their body if they derived concrete benefits from it, a poll last Monday showed. The survey by German IT industry lobby group Bitkom was intended to show how the division between real life and the virtual world is increasingly coming down. We would call that transhumanism. They probably wouldn't, but we will. Microchipping. And how a lot of these things are going to roll out, unfortunately, is they're not going to have to shove it down our throats. They rattle our cage so much, we beg for it. Iris scanning for Australian Dubai visitors, that's from news.com.au, that's biometrics. So these things, again, they have terms, and we'll try and cut to the chase. Transhumanism, biometrics. Some would call it the singularity. Supreme Court eases rules for questioning suspects. Basically saying the Miranda rights don't mean anything. Another poll. This time a CNN poll. This time a little more positive. The majority says the government is the real threat to citizens' rights. What's the saying? People shouldn't be afraid of their government. We've got the latest video of Webster Tarpley on Russia Today talking about Soviet America and all that entails. A couple blasts from the past from the previous puppet administration by way of Wired and AllGov.com. Military monitored Planned Parenthood and supremacists. Both sides of the phony political paradigm. Jesus, and this just popped in my head, I forgot. I saw the new issue on the stand at work of Mother Jones, and it has this close-up of a guy's face who seemed to have some kind of, you know, military wrappings around his head or something, and up above it, it said, Age of Treason. So I stepped in for a closer look, and it says something to the effect of, this man wants to take up arms against the Obama administration, and there are millions like him. That's what we'll see, and that's what we're already seeing, and that's what, unfortunately, it seems like we're only going to see more of as the fake progressive party is in power. If you'll recall, I say time and time again, when the phony conservatives are in, the enemy is abroad. When the fake progressives come in, the enemy is within. So we're back to homegrown errorism and all of that garbage and all of the things that they try and pin it to. Again, more on that as we progress through this episode. So much spilling out. So much of it shouldn't be surprising, but in a way always is. Cops and judges caught using secret codes on tickets.
Tonight, officers pulling over South Florida drivers, giving them tickets. But those tickets have a secret signal that may drive you mad. It's a 7 News exclusive investigation.
Hello again, everyone. It's tonight's top story.
A 7 News investigation exposing an unfair practice that is taking place every day in traffic court. Investigative reporter Carmel Cafaro has discovered officers are having secret ticket talk with judges, and it could affect your case.
It's the point no motorist wants to see. But when an officer pulls you over, there could be something extra written on the ticket that until now the public has never seen. 7 News has discovered drawings like these on the back of some traffic tickets issued in Broward County. We're told officers draw a smiley face for a good attitude, a frowning face for a bad attitude, and if an officer thinks you're a real jerk, he might draw this.
To the court, that, and to him, that means flaming A. The people that come into court with those notes on the back of the ticket have no idea that that accusation has been made.
This is an original ticket, and this is the front of the ticket, and that's what you get. But attached to that, although not separated here, is the other part of the ticket, which you don't see.
That part of the ticket contains the drawings. It can also include additional notes detailing the officer's version of what happened. And that is what is sent to the judge or magistrate.
I'm going to treat everybody fairly.
The problem is, when a motorist goes to court, he or she has no idea the magistrate has that extra information.
I came off Commercial Boulevard, and I made a U-turn.
Sharonda Barker decided to fight her ticket in court. She even brought in pictures to try to prove she did not make an improper turn.
I feel that the state has met its burden of proof.
She lost her case. She had no idea the magistrate had this, a copy of her ticket with a frowning face, until I showed it to her.
So on the one hand, so kind of silly, but also so insidious. Agencies in Myrtle Beach running terror drills. That by way of South Carolina now. Suspicious substance last week found at the Utah IRS building was a fake, but as we know, the terror was real. This turned out to be some hoax, harmless powder. However, that didn't stop several people from being pulled out on stretchers. They probably had some sort of psychosomatic effect. And that's what terrorism is. So even when they run a phony op, people still are dropping from it. That's an interesting story, but again, too much to go into. At the Utah IRS building, of course, that coming on the heels of the Joe Stack alleged crash into the IRS building in Austin, Texas. UK fighter jets scrambled after a woman rushed the cockpit on an American Airlines plane. More on that from Fox News. Speaking of Joe Stack, and more great updates from Cryptogon.com, the original tenant of the Stack Attack building was a microelectronics and computer tech corporation. More connections tying Joe Stack to Homeland Security, the airlines industry, sharing a hangar with someone connected to Homeland Security, and high-tech aviation equipment. The Joe Stack story stinks. One follow-up on that from allgov.com. The widow of the one fatality besides Stack, allegedly, is suing the widow of Joe Stack. So, widow sues widow. More spilling out about FBI operative agent provocateur Hal Turner. Him now admitting that the government urged him to make violent statements. That's what provocateurs do. So whether we're talking about racist Hal Turner trying to get homegrown errorism going, Or from right here in Portland, Oregon, the story we recently covered about someone supposedly named Zachary Bucharest being pointed out by Professor John Hall at PSU for being a former Israeli sniper and being an FBI agent provocateur. Reason.com has new statistics showing 4.5 SWAT raids a day. And so if we just heard a little bit about cops and their secret codes, let's now learn about NYPD officers pressured to make arrests to fill the cops' quotas.
A New York police officer tonight breaking the infamous blue wall of silence and speaking out about something the NYPD has always denied. Cops have quotas for arrests and for tickets. And the officer says the pressure to make quotas means the arrest of innocent people. Investigative reporter Jim Hoffer is here with his exclusive. Jim?
Bill and Liz, a five-year veteran of the NYPD, says his conscience could no longer allow him to remain silent. He claims that the 41st Precinct in the Bronx, it's all about numbers, number of arrests and summonses, often of young minorities who have done nothing wrong.
When Officer Adil Palenko dreamed of becoming a cop, it was out of a desire to help people, not, he says, to harass them.
I'm not going to keep arresting innocent people. I'm not gonna keep searching people for no reason. I'm not gonna keep writing people for no reason. I'm tired of this.
Officer Palenko says One Police Plaza's obsession with keeping crime stats down has gotten out of control. He claims precinct commanders relentlessly pressure cops on the street to make more arrests, give out more summonses, all to show headquarters they have a tight grip on their neighborhoods.
Our primary job is not to assist anybody. Our primary job is to get those numbers and come back with them.
Why do it?
They have to meet the quota. One arrest, 20 summonses.
Things are not going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse.
This audio recording, exclusively obtained by Eyewitness News, seems to back up Officer Palenko's assertion of a quota. Listen to one officer as he lectures patrolmen during roll call at the 41st Precinct.
If you think 1 in 20 is breaking your f***, guess what you're going to be doing? Doing a lot more.
In another recording, a patrol supervisor appears to step up the pressure to write more and more summonses.
Next week, it could be 25 more. It could be 35 more. And guess what? The city decides to go to 25 and go to the coffee shop delivery man. This is what you're going to be doing until then. We understand, sir.
He's being clear. The only choice that we have is to do it.
You're telling me that they're just stopping people without a reason? Is that what you're saying?
We're stopping kids walking from school. We're stopping kids walking upstairs to their house. We're stopping kids from going to the store. Kids, young adults.
In order to keep your activity.
In order to keep that quota.
Or as Wiggum says on The Simpsons, the law is powerless to protect you, but not to punish you. Another urban legend, conspiracy theory, whatever you want to call it, debunked. Police departments have quotas. We also like to note, of course, from the aforementioned Miranda rights, it says anything you say or do can and will be used against you in a court of law. It will not be used for you. So once this NYPD story broke, interestingly enough, another story came out, this time from New Mexico. State police ordered to write tickets or face punishment. Something we discussed on my recent appearance on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on KUFO here in Portland, Oregon, blasting out tens of thousands of watts, dropping info bombs all over the Pacific Northwest. Google police chiefs around the country resigning. It seems at all levels, things seem to be falling apart. But I think a lot of it also shows that people are sort of waking up and shaken out of it and realizing that they don't want to be involved in criminal, amoral, horrible, detrimental activities. So whether that's giving your money to corporations or being involved in work you thought was to protect and serve, several months ago, I don't even remember how long ago. We went over a guy named Barry Cooper. He was a former narcotics officer. When he ultimately resigned, he started to come out and fight against some of the police state tactics against and in the phony drug war. He started something called Never Get Busted Again. However, police raided Never Get Busted's headquarters and arrested Barry Cooper. More on that from TrueSlant.com. That's a new site to me, but it's got contributors like Stephen Webster, who does good work over on Raw Story. Some of these things, we're going to go all around the world. All this news is making my head spin, so all the information is on MediaMonarchy.com. I implore you to follow along, take notes, save the pages, do it all, because we're going all over the place. Claude Fulk, F-O-U-L-K, Fulk, a hospital director in California, has now been accused of raping and molesting children since 1975. More on that from TrueCrimeReport.com. Malicious bastards like to get themselves in positions of power so that they can exercise whatever messed up proclivities they have, whether that's just stealing money from people or molesting little kids. Corrupt people seek out positions of power. Is everyone in a position of power corrupt? No. It's not that simple. You know, and folks who leave comments or, you know, Facebook messages or any of that stuff, somebody posted something unrelated to the posting they were commenting on Facebook. It's like, so is Obama going to round us all up and put us in FEMA camps? I said, no, the progressive peace movement's going to save us. But a lot of times, simple fighting sarcasm with sarcasm is lost on people. We mentioned last week, and we've mentioned quite extensively for the last year or so, the mass murder contagion, the murder and mayhem, and of course the homegrown errorism, the copycat effect. We mentioned the most recent shooting in Littleton, Colorado, of course also the site of the Columbine massacre. I'll just reference briefly my interview with Evan Long of the Columbine Cause. That's all up on the archives. Suspected Colorado gunman participated in strange NASA-funded medical study in 2005. You'll always find these folks somehow involved with the feds, such as the case of obvious sociopath, psychopath, mind control victim, God knows what, Amy Bishop. Boston police sharpen their watch on crime. That basically means they're spying on you more, and your liberties are being destroyed. That's a nice way to put it from the Boston Globe, though. The last note here on police state updates, UK police forces to be equipped with mobile scanners to enable ID checks in the streets. It's not going to be so clumsy or even exciting and romantic as it is in Casablanca, where they stop and ask if your papers are in order. Once they get us carrying RFID chips in our cards and in our phones, we can be tracked at any moment. Now, the way RFID chips work, again, they're not necessarily tracking your every movement at every moment, but when you come in contact with an RFID reader, that information is gleaned. We've exposed time and time again how hackable these things are. And again, that's always sold to you on the story of it's going to make you safer. However, it doesn't. It just gives them more control and gives you the illusion of safety. And as we've said time and time again, those who would give up fundamental liberties for a little temporary freedom don't deserve either. Our latest story now goes into Louisiana with more terror drills and militarized police exercises. And of course, all these things tie in occult symbolism, biblical references, as a wink, as a nod, as a coincidence? I think not. Operation Exodus. Louisiana cops plan for an end-of-the-world scenario. This article from Kurt Nimmo. Police in Louisiana's Bossier Parish are training for an end-of-the-world scenario, according to the Shreveport Times. The program is dubbed Operation Exodus, inspired in part from the book of Exodus in the Bible, second book in the Old Testament. Parish Sheriff Larry Dean, D-E-E-N, told the newspaper, "The buck stops with him. The liability stops with Larry Dean. I'm the chief law enforcement officer in this parish, and it is incumbent upon me to protect all the people in it," Larry Dean said, referring to himself in the third person. Dean's plan is to protect Bossier Parish's vital resources like food and gas in the event of a catastrophic event such as war or terror. Dean has said he's been thinking of the plan since 9/11. Under Dean's plan, the police will use volunteers supplemented with active public safety personnel that will be dispatched to vital areas in Bossier to protect them from looters and rioters. Dean listed as examples grocery stores, gas stations, hospitals, and other public meeting places. Instead of normal riot equipment such as, you know, shields and batons, the volunteers will be armed with shotguns and have access to 50 cal machine gun mounted on a vehicle called the War Wagon. On February 20th, the volunteers were trained in hand-to-hand combat techniques. "I think every public safety agency should be prepared for disaster response," said Sandy Davis, director of the Caddo Bossier Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness in Louisiana. We have all those links to the Shreveport Times reports. They're basically the only primary source for Operation Exodus out of Louisiana. But we add in here at the bottom one last important note, again, by way of the Shreveport Times. Local residents may remember then-President George W. Bush's address to the nation was made out of Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City immediately after the attacks. At that time, Dean's men and about 100 other patrol cars barricaded entry to the base to protect the president from what turned out to be the non-existent threat of an assault on the base. Again, the invaluable resource of historycommons.org. I have linked over the events surrounding Barksdale. So right now, that's right near where they're running Operation Exodus, their end-of-the-world scenario. 8:48 a.m., September 11th, 2001, Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, preparing for Global Guardian exercise when attacks start. They were running drills. Military war games. Of course, Bush and his crisscross around from Barksdale to Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, right where Warren Buffett was meeting with Ann Tatlock, who should have been in her office high in the World Trade Center. 11:45 a.m., September 11th, 2001, Air Force One lands at Louisiana Air Force Base. President Bush arrived at Barksdale Air Force Base in a Humvee, escorted by armed outriders. Reporters and others are not allowed to say where they are. He gives his big speech there. So we see the connections to the military bases, such as Barksdale and Offutt, and also Minot, and let's not forget Stuart. Running drills that just so happened to go live. My friends, we still have so much to cover on this 160th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. But I think my throat needs a little bit of a break, and perhaps your brain needs a little bit of a break. So let's take a couple moments. We're going to regroup, and we're going to listen to some of the last music from the late, great Elliott Smith. Distorted reality is now a necessity to be free. That was some of the last music that the late, great Elliott Smith recorded. And we're back to hour number two of episode 160 of Media Monarchy. It's March 5th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Coming to you from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And again, a huge thanks to our list of affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FROlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, PhantomRadio.org, OneSkyRadio.com, StickAM.com/GroundZeroRadio, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, and Radio23.org. I'll again briefly mention now the setup of the PayPal account and the P.O. Box. Your donation gets you the 2020 Hindsight DVD from Richard Grove and Divergent Films. You also help support the alternative media. As I said just a few minutes ago, we still have a massive amount of information to go over. I have really no confidence we're going to be able to get to go over it all, but we're going to try our best. Back on MediaMonarchy.com, posted just this last Wednesday, the latest headlines in the world of geopolitics. Israel is real and Iran so far away. Israel and IDF forces recently raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's A-L-A-Q-S-A. A-K-A, also known as the Dome of the Rock. I've always said to folks who have never really followed religion or didn't have a background in it, again, I have a religious upbringing, which makes me even more of a skeptic. The Dome of the Rock is a mosque that sits on supposedly Jewish land, and when you hear that the Dome of the Rock has been blown up, shit's on. You may not believe in God, but there are people who are using other folks' belief in God to bring these things about. That was my question as a little kid. Well, if it's God's will and if it's all a prophecy, then we're just going to make it happen. And it gets worse and worse and worse. From ZeroHedge.com, War Council convened in Damascus to prep for an Israeli strike on Iran. We have Ahmadinejad saying he expects war between spring and summer. Skull and Bones' John Kerry made a recent trip to Israel, telling them not to, quote, jump the gun on an Iran attack. ASIO, ACO, the Australian Security Intelligence Organization, are embroiled in another Israeli spy probe. From Xinhua, they note that foreign minister says that Iran's completely cooperating with the IAEA. Again, we note they signed the NPT treaty, the non-proliferation treaty. But Israel never has. Mossad agents fled to the U.S. after that recent Hamas assassination in Dubai. That comes from the Times Online. We've been lightly tracking this story, which basically breaks down that Mossad sold passports with fake identities. UK knew it. They pulled off a Hamas assassination and fled somewhere, some now speculating, into the U.S. An interesting story. And we've got coverage from Danger Room as well as the Associated Press. Israelis nix op after Facebook fiasco. Israeli raid called off after Facebook slip. That would be some guy saying, hey, we're about to go clean up a town, giving the town and the time. That is a cyberspace war, I would think. The last note here on geopolitics is a video. It's about 10 minutes long. I couldn't find a pertinent piece to pull out for you. But basically, what this ties into, and again, so many things going on, I can't track them all adequately at once. Arrested terror leader exposes his extensive CIA connections. The leader of a Pakistan-based terrorist organization closely affiliated with Al-Qaeda has detailed how his group benefited from extensive political and financial support from the CIA in return for continued attacks against the government, the people, and the infrastructure of Iran. Abdul-Malek Righi, or Reggie, R-I-G-I, the leader of Pakistan-based Jundullah terrorist organization captured by Iranian security officials earlier last week. They were tracking him. He had a forged Afghan passport issued to him by the U.S. government. And in this video, which again is available right on the page by way of Press TV, we know the previous puppet administration, continued by the current puppet administration, have funded Jundullah to overthrow the democratically elected government of Iran. What don't you understand about that? We do it in Chile. We do it in Guatemala. We've done it in Iran before. And we've done it right here in homeland America. So many things I'd like to go into. To talk about the rogue network and all these patsies and triple agents and funding and cover. But I trust I've done it adequately in the past, and that we'll do it even more in the future, as again we try and explain and share information. But we gotta keep moving. Let's get the latest bio drug war updates, contamination collapse, and fighting back. First up on the BioWars EnviroHealth notes, new research from the National Academy of Sciences, PNAS.org, atrazine, a common weed killer, turns male frogs into females. More on that from Reuters. 100% of fish in U.S. streams contaminated with mercury. That's coming from Natural News, and again, sourcing back to recent research of the last 6 or 7 months. Food freedom goes into the collapse of two scientific paradigms, that's GMOs and vaccines. Georgia, by way of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Georgia has glut of swine flu vaccine. Remember the hype? Now they can't get rid of shit. I forget who sent me this news tip, but there's an interesting site, and I haven't fully delved into who's behind this and exactly what it's for, but it has that stinky sheen of think tank, NGO, foundation-funded fronts. PlanetarySkin.org. This looks like think tanks and NGOs, high-tech monitoring of the anthropogenic global warming hype. That would be that it's all your fault, and you have to pay carbon indulgences to the same folks who actually cause the problems. An interesting letter to the editor from the Cumberland Times. I believe that's out of Maryland. Or West Virginia, I forget. It's near from where I used to live, but I know it was always referred to as Scumberland. Chinese fluoride is a homeland security matter. Even more interesting from the Vancouver Sun, documents reveal leaks and spills at Canada's National Microbiology Lab. Again, in the past, we've gone into great detail discussing the labs. And so whether that's just the most recent things surrounding Amy Bishop or even the late Bruce Ivins, supposed lone gunman in the anthrax attacks. Just as I was saying before, the same labs that create these germs somehow accidentally let them out during a drill, perhaps. Glaxo pays out $1 billion in birth defect cases with 600 lawsuits yet to go. Let's hope lawsuits bleed them dry. The last note on Enviro updates. This is again, it would be funny if it weren't so insidious and scary. A new ad from the Kentucky state government portrays vaccine skeptics as raving lunatic dumbass conspiracy theorists.
Well, I hear the H1N1 swine flu vaccines made from platypus milk.
No. It was brought through a portal that only opens every 700 years.
My cousin sent me an email, says that Mitch is susceptible to hypnotic suggestion.
Some folks believe anything. The swine flu vaccine is safe, effective, and you still need it. Learn more at Kentucky's Flu website. That way you can separate the fact from the fiction.
It was developed from secret alien technology found on the moon.
We could do probably a whole episode just breaking down all of that. So if you're a vaccine skeptic, you're a alien-believing, moon-landing, hoax-pushing, perhaps you're even under hypnosis. A few headlines from the phony war on drugs. Five things you may know about marijuana that aren't true. More on that from newsjunkiepost.com. Ads in a Russian town promote marijuana. That's from Russia Today. And from AllGov, CBS billboards say anti-abortion, yes. Marijuana legal, no. We follow that story from time and time again, even on their channels, what they'll accept ads for and what they won't accept ads for. Of course, CBS and their all-seeing eye logo, the Columbia Broadcasting System, Goddess Columbia, set up by Skull and Bones Paley, connected to Skull and Bones Henry Luce. Those are all facts you can look up, or you can just call me a name. Colorado congressman fights back against DEA's medical marijuana raids. More on that from stopthedrugwar.org. And we now move quickly to foodworldorder.com, which is pretty much, I believe, over this weekend celebrating its first birthday. I set up foodworldorder.com as a place just to cover the new food world order, the coming controls. Let's see. We've got well over 100 stories posted to foodworldorder.com. And good stuff on the way, hopefully. Some interviews exclusively through foodworldorder.com. So that's just a little taster for you. We've got the latest Binge and Purge posted up. Just a quick list of headlines. Chiquita death squads, recalls, and strikes. Families of murdered U.S. missionaries sue Chiquita for supporting FARC terrorists in Colombia. Kroger recalls beef products for E. coli. Tim's Cascade recalls Sweet Maui chips. They make those very nearby in Washington. Oysters recalled in Oregon. Food poisoning costs the United States $152 billion a year. FDA recalls some foods with flavor enhancer called HVP. Now, I was going to say we sell Tim's where I work. And we sell something called TVP, that's textured vegetable protein. However, in this case, we're talking about HVP, hydrolyzed vegetable protein. So FDA recalling some foods with HVP. There's also something called the Stop and Shop strike. You can check out more as it builds online on Facebook and read more about it from HuffingtonPost.com. And what connects back to the cost every year of food poisoning is that another poll, and this again from foodsafetynews.com, food makes 4 in 10 of us sick. Our next story again on foodworldorder.com, and again kind of relating to what is going on in my backyard, which I think ultimately should kind of be the mission of Food World Order, because food has to be local. That is, It's going to have to happen ultimately, one way or another. We're either going to be forced into it, or we should do it because it's the right, moral, efficient thing to do. Diamond Foods to scoop up Lion Capital UK, the owner of Oregon's famous kettle chips. This from the Daily Mail. A British crisp company is being bought out by an American food conglomerate. San Francisco-based Diamond Foods is paying, well, they have it in pounds here, £400 million in cash for Kettle Foods. This deal follows the recent controversial sale of much-loved British chocolate maker Cadbury to U.S. firm Kraft for £11.5 billion. Kettle Foods, which makes premium crisps under the Kettle Chips label, is currently owned by London-based private equity firm Lion Capital UK. And that's Lion, like the animal, L-I-O-N. They have a factory in Beauthorpe near Norwich and was founded in 1978. The deal is expected to go through this year. Lion Capital's other investments include Weetabix, restaurant chain Wagamama, and the La Senza lingerie shops. Now, that's a diversified portfolio. Michael Mendes, chairman of Diamond Foods, said, quote, "By adding Kettle, including its talented team of employees, our snack business will have greater scale, which will help us to drive even greater innovation in the snack market." Because that's what we need. More innovation in the snack market. So this is interesting, and again, Kettle chips are made in Salem, Oregon, and they had been owned by UK private equity firm. And again, that's, you know, I made the joke about it being a diversified portfolio. That's what these guys do. They don't love food. They don't love putting out records. They want it all. So you have essentially the bean counters behind the scenes on a lot of things. And we don't have to go into that. You guys get it. Let's jump to our last post on foodworldorder.com. Still following the water wars. Supreme Court rulings open loopholes for water polluters. This from allgov.com, as well the tie-in from foodsafetynews.com. Thanks to a conservative shift in the U.S. Supreme Court, government regulators are now limited in enforcing the nation's toughest water pollution law, a development that has put the drinking water of millions at risk. An investigation by the New York Times found that the EPA is unable to go after some businesses that have dumped oil, carcinogens, and dangerous bacteria into lakes, rivers, and other waterways. An estimated 1,500 major pollution investigations have come to a halt in the last 4 years. The reduced enforcement has occurred because of two rulings by the Supreme Court that reduced the scope of the Clean Water Act by redefining the term navigable waters. We cite some court cases, Northern Cook County versus United States Army Corps of Engineers and Rapanos versus United States. We're, in essence, shutting down clean water programs in some states. Again, the EPA, who told you the air was safe to breathe at ground zero, they even have ridiculous levels of what they say is allowed in water, which would literally turn your stomach. But we far exceeded even those disgusting levels. I have a long list of flashbacks here, and again, the water wars are something that we've tracked pretty extensively on Food World Order. Millions in U.S. drink dirty water. Fiji, spin the bottle, the politics of water, on the disgusting practices of Fiji water. Bottled water sales leaking, tap water increasingly unsafe, and disposing of unused medicines in trash may threaten water supply. You would think that'd be a no-brainer. So these things that will turn and are turning into and have already become for millions of folks the fundamental issues, and that's going to be food and shelter. We'll hop back to Media Monarchy and get the latest Econo Crash updates on the Fed, failure, welfare, and the new ghost towns. Massive bank failures due, says an oversight panel. More on that from the Epoch Times. And again, don't listen to what they say. Not always, anyway. Watch what they do. Obama appoints Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and Federal Reserve operative to a debt panel created by yet another Obama-Saya executive order. We've already exposed his campaign lies about no signing statements and executive orders, but he's doing it in just the same fashion as Bush and generally building on some of the previous executive orders, as we'll see again. IMF Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn pushing for more power and new global currency. Christopher Dodd, who thankfully is not going to run again, proposes giving the Federal Reserve the task of consumer protection. More on that from the New York Times. Alternet.org exposing the great American bubble barons. Now, they, of course, won't expose the foundation funding behind their operations. But again, that's why we do the data mining. I post so many articles and videos and links and audio podcasts and so many things. I don't endorse them all. I'm trying to give you a huge spread to dig in. Does Alternet do great work? Absolutely. So does Democracy Now. So does Rachel Maddow. But just as the talking heads on the other political side, they're myopic, and they only look at what's for their team. And that's what keeps us in that dichotomy, the left-right, in the box. IBM layoffs blamed on offshoring. That article's from computerworld.com, and I have it from an inside source. IBM is doing a seminar here in Portland, Oregon recently. And it becomes very obvious to some of the folks watching their presentation and IBM talking about their, of course, involvement in the coming smart grid. And it's slick. So meanwhile, they're telling folks times are tight and outsourcing and offshoring is hurting folks and they're shedding folks. The agenda still rolls forward. International Business Machines, the final solutions company. American reliance on government at all-time high. That's from the Washington Times. Again, they get you hooked, and then they're going to pull the rug out. And when it all falls apart, the only jobs you'll have will be snitching for them. Whistleblower says his pursuit of Madoff was a death sentence, meaning it scared the hell out of him to do it. And his name was Harry Markopoulos, where he goes on to say, don't trust your government. New ghost towns. Industrial communities teeter on the edge. When I posted up and linked up this story from USA Today, scrolling over it, and then I got that feeling and I saw that it was in Ravenswood, and I've said, don't let this be in... Oh, it is. Ravenswood, West Virginia. The new ghost towns. Oh, what did I just say? Rat out a tax cheat, collect a reward. That's coming from Yahoo. Officials puzzle over millions leaving Afghanistan by plane for Dubai. That's from the Washington Post, and I can't dive into that, and I don't know a whole lot about it. But there it is. Follow that path. Forbes.com says, quote, New World Order is moving in. Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz said that the Federal Reserve is corrupt and undermines democracy. Another great article from Webster Tarpley up on his new and improved and updated site, tarpley.net. Financial warfare exposed. Soros and Sachs hedge funds attacking Greece to smash the euro. International banksters and gangsters that owe no allegiance to flag or God are consolidating power. They're running drills on how to take over your cities when you realize that the gig is up. now, my friends. You smell that? Oh, that's change. Obama signs one-year extension of the Patriot Act. Or Obama and the Patriot Act. Yes, we can kill the Bill of Rights. More on this story from Kurt Nimmo and from the Associated Press and from Reuters and from YouTube and from clerk.house.gov, MSNBC, legitgov.org, and on and on and on. The documentation is replete. Obama signed a one-year extension of several provisions in the nation's main counterterrorism law, the Patriot Act, provisions in the measure that would have expired last Sunday without Obama's holy signature last Saturday. And of course, we had already reported that the House and Senate passed it. They made no hesitation in rushing to sign this over the weekend. Of course, the Patriot Act was already written, sitting on the shelf, waiting for a catastrophic catalyzing event. It used to be called the Omnibus Crime Bill, and they weren't able to get it all through until Oklahoma City happened. They got a little bit of it in. They were even talking about setting up something called Heartland Security or some such. That was Clinton now. The Patriot Act, which was adopted in the weeks after 9/11, expands the government's ability to monitor Americans in the name of national security. The three sections that will stay in force that we're going over right here authorize court-approved roving wiretaps that permit surveillance on multiple phones, authorizes court-approved seizure of records and property in anti-terrorism operations. And again, we've already talked about Section 802, pretty much classifies all crime as terror. And the third section permits surveillance against a so-called lone wolf, a non-U.S. citizen supposedly engaged in terrorism who may or may not be a part of a recognized terrorist group. Obama's signature came after the House voted 315-97 to extend the measure. The Senate also approved the measure with privacy protections cast aside when Senate Democrats lacked the necessary 60-vote supermajority to pass them. Thrown away were restrictions and greater scrutiny on the government's authority to spy on Americans and seize their records. Brought to you by the Progressive Party. But of course, we still have the foaming and frothing on the reactionary fake conservative side who also believe in the war of terror. Flashbacks here. FBI misused Patriot Act powers. Judge strikes down part of Patriot Act. And of course, just last September, more change. Obama pushed renewal of warrantless spying on Americans, and now he's gotten it. But again, they're puppets. Obama doesn't run shit. George Bush didn't run shit. They're the front man. They sell you on the agenda. And you go, yay! Or you go, boo.
President Barack Obama has signed a one-year extension of several provisions in the nation's main counterterrorism law, the Patriot Act. They would have expired on Sunday. They authorized court-approved roving wiretaps to permit phone surveillance. They also allow the seizure of records and property in anti-terror investigations. President Obama will make an announcement next week on what his spokesman calls the way forward on health care reform.
Oh, yes, the way forward. See, I keep getting ahead of myself, and there's so many things I want to go over that I have to jump back and play pickup. Now we're moving forward. Chris Hedges, great journalist, investigative reporter, a quote from him opens the Hurt Locker, which I'm saying is going to beat the overblown Avatar. Chris Hedges on Obama the liar, illegal wars, fraudulent bailouts, and assaults on civil liberties. That article on Global Research. Gun rights expand under Obama? Question mark. That comes from allgov.com. Discuss. A new paper from the Cato Institute, Cato.org, asking the question, can Obama assassinate Americans? That comes on the heels of Obama's Director of National Intelligence, Dennis Blair, saying we can assassinate citizens abroad if they're connected to terror. unfortunately, Obama's physical shows that he is still smoking cigarettes. And I tell you that, unfortunately, I do as well. And it's the worst, most sort of hypocritical thing that I'm involved in. And I know my mom's always right. She says, you know, all the things that you rail against and yet you smoke. And I haven't been able to quit. SCOTUS, or rather, also Obama administration embroiled in illegal removal of Haitian children. More on that from the Telegraph. Supreme Court may allow corporations and unions to make anonymous political donations. Of course, we've touched on that recently. You may have heard about the new coffee party, that new grassroots group coming out against the Tea Party, which of course has been a co-opted movement by neocons and fake conservatives like Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and all those other reactionary fools. However, my friends, should be no surprise to you that the founder of the Coffee Party is an Obama campaign operative. It's not real grassroots. It's bullshit. Keeping you in the pen. I really wanted to play the clip from this, but again, we don't have time. Great new satire from The Onion. Obama caught lip-syncing speech, and they make great comparisons. The fact that he's basically a performer and the record screwed up, and it really took him out of the performance, and it may screw up his upcoming tour with the Black Eyed Peas, and yeah. But on the War Whores tip, appropriately enough, the first article notes that it pays well to join the military. That is, of course, if you can make it through the meat grinder. Huge size of Homeland Security contractor workforce leaves senators, quote-unquote, astonished. More on that from FCW.com. Pentagon fines KBR and then gives it a $2.8 billion contract. Despite deaths, Army awards $2.8 billion contract to KBR. KBR, of course, connected to Halliburton. They're also connected in a way to DynCorp. We always like to reference Cynthia McKinney grilling Myers and Rumsfeld, asking them about the drills, asking them about military contracts, and asking if it's government policy to continue to do business with companies like DynCorp and Halliburton and KBR that have been busted running drugs and kidnapping and running sex slaves. The latest Obama executive order, yes, another one, even after the one that we mentioned just a little bit ago, setting up the debt panel, we now have another Obama executive order switching the line of succession in the Department of Defense. More on that from DODBuzz.com, and something tells me that's kind of important. New military helmets to be fitted by laser scan of pilot's head. U.S. Navy conceals nuclear weapons production in California. I add the question mark. The report comes from IndieBay.org. We made recent reference to the supposed plot by Muslims to poison food at Fort Jackson. Now they're saying no plot. Interesting note on more military drills. This going on in Turkey, and we have two reports from todayszaman.com. Chief terror suspects host major military drill in Turkey, and now we have General Bazbug, and also with a suspected terror criminal, Burke, photographed together at these war games. And again, there's so many sort of pieces on the grand chessboard, if you will. Whole avenues to explore and research. Now, of course, what I just have posted up at the bottom of this Patriot Act extension post is a story that developed yesterday evening. And again, I was on the line recording a long interview yesterday, so I didn't see this exactly when it broke. But of course, you must know about the shots fired outside the Pentagon Metro station in D.C. yesterday. Two police injured. Initially, the shooter was injured. They identified him as John Patrick Bedell, B-E-D-E-L-L. At first, he was injured. Now he is dead. And of course, what begins? His anti-government rants online. More on that from ABC News. And this, from just a couple of hours ago, from The Guardian. Pentagon gunman was 9/11 conspiracy theorist acting alone. Now, if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what does. They're connecting it all. So, like that funny little vaccine ad we played, you know, if you suspect the vaccines are perhaps filled with poisons, you believe in aliens. If you have questions about 9/11, you're now a violent anti-government killer. This turns my stomach. They're demonizing a lot of different groups in a lot of different ways. However, as we've said, as the mainline progressive media is now calling it, the age of treason, we're calling it homegrown errorism, because we don't buy either paradigm. And I don't ultimately believe that having some guns is necessarily going to stop what's going to come down. We have more from Lauren Coleman and Copycat Effect on the Pentagon shooter, J. Patrick Bedell. Again, a developing story that I have not had time to fully investigate, but something tells me we're going to discuss a whole hell of a lot more about it. And what I should say before we move to cyberspacewar.com, in our last 20 or so minutes here on episode 160 of MediaMonarchy.com, it's March 5th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm the host and webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com, and I utterly reject the violence and the fear and the allegations about 9/11 truth or conspiracy theorists. I'm right here, both live and in recorded form, whenever and whenever and wherever and however you may be listening to this. I reject that violence. I have nothing to do with it, and I never will. It's easy to forget sometimes that swimming in these waters can be kind of a dangerous thing. Ultimately, I've never had any problem because I don't do anything illegal. And I think I try and talk to folks about this kind of disturbing information on a conversational level. And I think people are more receptive to it that way. I don't act like a raving dick. So that's what I'm saying. Ultimately, I'm nonviolent. I won't be involved in any violence against others or myself, for that matter. So that's on the record. And again, all of this demonization will continue to expose through these alternative media avenues that we have while we have them. As soon as they can get you to go violent, you lose. That is in our hands. And we see, as I glance again at Google News right now, the Wall Street Journal, 55 minutes ago, Pentagon gunman dies, mystery of assault deepens. We see other headlines here, videos, Associated Press, Pentagon suspect well armed. He was a top engineering student at SJSU. I believe that's out of San Jose. But let's quickly, my friends, now, and again, I don't do it justice. There's so much here. And as I was just saying, you know, love and nonviolence and all those things that we're really talking about, that's really the food and shelter and the real things. We have control over that to a large degree. Other things are happening that we don't have control over. And I started cyberspacewar.com to track what seemed to come with the Obama administration is this ushering in of so much symbolism and ancient history and astrotheology and things I can't help or hope to fully try and explain. We want to talk to Freeman soon about these things on Media Monarchy. But what I'll say briefly before we start to blast through all these things is that the sun has gone through a 10-plus year cycle of relatively low activity. Something is coming up called Solar Cycle 24, and we're going to see that affect satellite navigation systems. We're going to see that affect the Earth. And there's so much surrounding that. Let's set the table with a mainline report from the Foundation-funded National Public Radio on solar storms and the Earth's next Katrina.
Weather and emergency management officials spent 2 days in Colorado this week. They were preparing for a storm far bigger than Katrina, one that could leave millions of people without electricity, running water, or phone service. But it wouldn't cause hurricanes or tornadoes. As NPR's John Hamilton reports, this type of storm begins on the surface of the sun.
The sun has a lot of minor storms. Its molten surface often erupts, producing bursts of radiation that can light up the Earth's northern skies and interfere with radio signals. But every few decades or so, there's a vastly bigger explosion on the sun, one as powerful as a billion hydrogen bombs. Officials from Europe and the U.S. wanted to know what might happen on Earth when the next one of these occurs.
What we think could be close to a worst-case scenario.
Tom Bogdan directs the Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder. He was one of the U.S. officials who took part in a tabletop exercise there this week. It was based on massive solar storms that struck the Earth in 1859 and 1921. But of course, back then, we weren't dependent on satellites and other electronic devices that are vulnerable to these kinds of storms. In the exercise, Bogdan says, the first sign of trouble came when radiation began disrupting radio signals and GPS devices. 10 or 20 minutes later, he says, electrically charged particles began to arrive.
Those particles typically will impact satellites, and the high fluxes that were in the exercise basically took out most of the commercial satellites.
The same satellites that carry stuff like telephone conversations and TV shows. Bogdan says those satellites also relay data that we depend on for a lot of daily tasks.
When you go into a gas station and put your credit card in and get some gas, that's a satellite transaction.
Disabled satellites were just the beginning. The worst damage came many hours later when the solar storm began to induce electrical currents in high-voltage power lines. Bogdan says the currents were strong enough to destroy transformers around the globe.
Starting in Sweden and then Canada, the northeast U.S., into the Ohio Valley, and that more or less took out large parts of critical infrastructure.
Without electricity, many people lost running water, heat, air conditioning, and phone service. And places like hospitals had to rely on emergency generators with fuel for only 2 or 3 days. Craig Fugate, the administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also took part in the tabletop exercise. He says it showed that in many ways, solar storms are a lot like storms on Earth. But Fugate says a solar Katrina would present at least one unique challenge for agencies like his.
Unlike a lot of natural hazards that are point specific, this would actually occur depending upon the rotation of the Earth on the sunlit side, and then ultimately as a geomagnetic storm took place and the impacts on satellites, perhaps worldwide.
So a lot more people in a lot more places would need help. Fugate says that individuals, though, don't need to make any special preparation for a solar storm. He says the standard emergency kit of water and food and first aid supplies will work just fine.
So if you're taking those steps and you go on to ready.gov and you got your family disaster plan together, you've taken the steps, whether it be a space storm, whether it be a system failure, whether it be another natural hazard that knocks the power out.
Disaster officials say a solar Katrina isn't very likely to happen in any given year, but neither was the Katrina that hit New Orleans. John Hamilton, NPR News.
So they're drilling, they're practicing space war. Solar Katrinas going on in Colorado. Quickly now, as we go through the cyber war hype, CERN and the grid, overdue since 21, this is what we were just saying, 1921, next solar storm could disrupt much of the world. More on that again from allgov.com. Krypton's John Young gave a recent interview to InfoWars talking about the net and talking about the grid. We, of course, noted that his site was recently shut down for a little while. His legendary whistleblower leak site, cryptome.org. Military allows Twitter and social media. Large Hadron Collider briefly back on over last weekend. We have reports from The Register and The Guardian on CERN starting up again. And what we're talking about and what we're about to blast through is just the massive amount of earthquake clusters and interesting space events, coronal mass ejections and things again that I'm just starting to wrap my head around. A fantastic article from Threat Level, Cyber War Hype Intended to Destroy the Open Internet. That's it, quite simply. Facial recognition phone app described as a stalker's dream. Open Wi-Fi to be outlawed by UK's digital economy bill, killing off internet cafes. White House declassified part of their cybersecurity plan. We've got reports from Christian Science Monitor, Sydney Morning Herald, ArsTechnica.com, The Washington Post, and critics not being satisfied with this partial revelation. More on that from FCW. We've got Microsoft executives, which of course have now been made cyber czars, former Bush cronies and Microsoft executives, pitching again internet usage tax to pay for the cybersecurity they're going to shove down our throats. An interesting and important report from AugustReview.com, the smart grid, the implementation of technocracy. Again, cyber czar saying cyber threat is the biggest economic risk. And an interesting note from the conservative organization known as the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, reminds you, don't let the White House ignore the EMP threat. That's electromagnetic pulse. And again, that ties in with the cyberspace war. The next thing on cyberspace war is the third and final story we went over on the most recent episode of The New World Next Week, and it's good news. Internet overtakes print in U.S. news consumption. We want to see that trend continue. Of course, we have the PDF abstract and data for you to download, Understanding the Participatory News Consumer. And again, that means alternative media can rise, but it can only rise with support and help. We're going back into the fact that these new cybersecurity bills and things being pushed by Rockefeller and Snow, basically giving the president new emergency powers over the internet, essentially being able to pull the plug. We have more on this and all the draft legislation on Thomas.loc. Flashback links, more and more from Cyberspace War and TheHill.com, but a quick report on Obama and cybersecurity.
According to CNET News, internet companies and civil liberties groups were alarmed this spring when a U.S. Senate bill proposed handing the White House the power to seize and disconnect private sector computers from the internet. A revised version of the bill that aides to Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller have been spending months drafting behind closed doors would allow the president to declare a cybersecurity emergency relating to non-governmental computer networks and do what's necessary to respond to the threat. In May, President Obama said that the government is not as prepared as it should be to respond to disruptions and announced that a new cybersecurity coordinator position would be created inside the White House staff. 3 months later, that post remains empty. One top cybersecurity aide has quit. Among the bill's most controversial language are provisions that the White House would be mandated to engage in periodic mapping of private networks deemed to be critical, those companies ordered to share requested information with the federal government. Civil liberties and privacy advocates such as Li Tian of the Electronic Frontier Foundation are worried about the privacy implications of sweeping changes implemented before a legal review was finished. Tian told CNET, quote, "The language has changed, but it simply switches the more direct and obvious language they had originally to the more ambiguous. The designation of what is a critical infrastructure system or network, as far as I can tell, has no specific process. There's no provision for any administrative process or review. That's where the problems seem to start. And then you have the amorphous powers that go along with it."
Now, unfortunately, some of the most important and interesting information I have to go over this week is here at this last end, as we're in the last 10 minutes. Earthquake wars, solar storms, and the big one for us, that's U.S., And we'll begin this with a flashback by way of legitgov.org, and it's a 1997 Department of Defense briefing. It's got William Cohen in there. It's got the archive linked for you, where he says that, quote-unquote, others can set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely using electromagnetic waves. Others asking if we're in some type of HAARP weather weapon earthquake war. As we had last weekend, a huge 8.8 quake hit Chile, and of course the fallout has been disturbing. Chile troops and police attack quote-unquote looters. They've declared martial law in the wake of the quake. Chilean military takes control of cities. That's from The Guardian. Strong earthquake strokes northern Philippines. Strong earthquake rocked southern Taiwan. 6.9 earthquake rocks Okinawa Islands off southern Japan. Are the earthquakes in Chile, Haiti, Taiwan, and Japan related? USA Today asking that question. Chilean earthquake hints at dangers of big one for U.S. Another Taiwan earthquake. More aftershocks, if you can call 6.4 aftershocks. Spreading widespread panic. Scores injured. Fortunately, no casualties. Chile hit by another strong earthquake, and we even had killer waves causing panic on a Mediterranean cruise ship. So again, we see the memes, and we see the clusters, and we see the sort of contagion. When there was the shark attack at SeaWorld, the next day, a shark tank started to leak in Dubai, and people freaked out. And we see these memes reverberate, and that's what we try and expose here. My man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org wrote two different articles, and he went over both of them on last Sunday's show. Again, Clyde Lewis, now been picked up by the 50,000-plus watts of KUFO here in Portland. I was fortunate enough to be a guest there a couple of weeks ago. This last Sunday night, he, one, talked about Avatar, the film, and the burning of Eden, and again, all the symbolism that comes within that, and the massive sort of psychological operation that Avatar has been. And again, we want to note it too, because we're just a couple days away from the Oscars. But he also had an article about space weather, coronal mass ejections, sort of a solar flare, if you will, and the Chilean earthquake. It's a fantastic article. It goes into, again, some of the think tank papers talking about what would and could happen in the event of some sort of cyberspace war. But let's get a quick note from someone who was on the ground in Santiago, Chile, and what they described seeing and feeling before the quake.
Joining us now live from Santiago, Chile, via Skype is freelance journalist Cecilia Lago. Cecilia, good morning to you. Let's get the very latest from your vantage point. What are you seeing and what did you feel earlier today?
Well, good afternoon here. It's 1:10 p.m. here in Chile, and this whole thing happened at our time was 3:30 a.m. in the morning. I was sleeping, as most of us, of course, here in the country, and all of a sudden I started feeling this tremor, and since we are really used to tremors because this is a land of earthquakes, just as in the Central America is a land of hurricanes and tornadoes, and example, this is a land of earthquakes and tremors. So I just said to myself, okay, I'm not going to do anything until it gets really serious. And well, it did get serious, but I still was laying in bed. I was just so shocked because it was totally paralyzed. I didn't really know what to do because I was expecting all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing my neighbor maybe getting through from the roof to my floor or whatever. It was so intense, and I was seeing the sky changing colors, and it was really sort of Apocalypse Now thing.
Sort of like Apocalypse Now. The sky changing colors. Does that happen before earthquakes? I'm, you know, need to look into that. This ties in with CERN and coronal mass ejections, solar flares, solar storms, electromagnetic waves, the Norway spiral, all of these things seemingly connected. And again, the next article that Clyde Lewis went over on the most recent episode of Ground Zero, Avatar, The Burning of Eden, this article goes into all of the symbolism. Illuminati, Armageddon, environmentalism, military, all of those things that tie in with the Avatar PSYOP. And again, we implore you, and that's been the message sort of this episode, is to help support the alternative media. You can get Clyde Lewis's episodes for $1 from ZeroPointRadio.com. Quickly now, onto the media memes, fake news, fanfare, and sci non-fi. The media lobbying complex is the front page story of the latest issue of The Nation, fully further exposing the fact that ex-military generals and lobbyists act like the experts on the corporate media, and yet neighbors have it on constantly, and you hear them just lapping this shit up. Lobbyists treated as analysts on TV news, further extrapolation from AllGov, Olympic fanfare reigns as freedom's lost, ABC News to cut half its domestic correspondents and close brick-and-mortar bureaus. An interesting, well-timed article from NewsJunkiePost.com on District 9, sci-fi realism tackles the horrors of globalization. We've got Doritos advertisements representing the sick and demented nature of the junk food business. Big Hollywood going into the weak plot and military bashing of the new remake of George Romero's The Crazies. You know, just one of those crazy movies about the military letting go of toxic bioweapon and turning people into freaks and taking over cities. Two last pop culture notes here on media memes. Interestingly enough, it was just recently the 20th anniversary of the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique album, an all-time desert island favorite of mine. More on that from Big Hollywood. And a fantastic op-ed published in the New York Times. I read it originally and then remembered, finally, thanks to my girlfriend, when we were watching the amazing videos from OK Go. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, the lead singer and guitarist of OK Go, you know, the tracksuits and the, you know, the running, the videos, all of that. He's in a battle with the record label over who owns what and how they make money on videos. And again, I bumbled all through that because we're trying to wrap it all up. And we're going to wrap it up with a story from the Associated Press that, in a way, takes us from the present and the future and the past and all those things that we've covered on this episode. Massive head of Pharaoh unearthed in Egypt. Egypt's culture ministry says a team of Egyptian and European archaeologists have unearthed a large head made of red granite of an ancient pharaoh who ruled Egypt some 3,400 years ago, the head of Amenhotep III. History mystery comes alive, my friends, on episode 160 of MediaMonarchy.com. We're going to quickly mention some of the interesting visitors coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We had the Department of Transportation, USCG.mil, connected to the Coast Guard, out of Waldorf, Maryland, reading about U.S. and Canada extending their security measures past the Olympics. The Bank of New York Mellon visited, as did NORAD and the J6 Directorate out of Colorado Springs. They Googled Olympic Security 2010. We had the Monterey Army.mil headquarters out of Monterey, California. CBS Corporation out of New York City. Someone there Googled CBS Bluebeam. And you should, too. Our last note and our last visitor was the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, out of Oklahoma City. They hit me up from the link on the latest episode of The New World next week. And what ties this all in is your support. And again, I thank you already to the folks that have donated to Media Monarchy. We now have the PayPal store. We now have P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. $10 gets you the new 2020 Hindsight DVD, and your support helps keep Media Monarchy running. That's going to do it for episode 160, March 5th, 2010, of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster, reminding you, begging you, asking you, as always, to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.